The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com. MidwayUSA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Yak Gadget. For all your kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Pelican cases, coolers, and lighting, go to pelican.com. The 153 Bait Company. For all your hard and soft bait needs, go to the 153anglers.com. Now let's get this show started.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Reel Down. Another good episode coming up, bringing back one of my favorite people, and I won't waste any time bringing him in, Mr. Dan Perry. What's up, dude? Dude, your backdrop has definitely improved. I can't tell if he's actually frozen or... Oh, there we go.
I didn't know if that was you or me. Yeah, man.
Yeah, it was perfect. You were like this for like 10 seconds.
Thanks for having me back, man.
Yeah, no, dude. It's good to have you. I'm glad you can jump on. Is that the same room that you were in?
Yeah, I haven't used this computer since the last time I was on a podcast, and so it might try to update like right in the middle. It's really angry at me. Apparently, a lot of updates on this Apple have happened between then and now.
Yeah. Well, you said you hadn't done a podcast in a while. What else you been up to, man? What have you been doing? I hadn't talked to you in a minute.
Well, the Sox lost today, so that sucks. Still repping the hat, but that made me sad. Me and Lance, one of the guests coming on tonight, we're committee members for Iron City Kayak Anglers. We're putting our schedule together right now, trying to get some sponsors from that.
So if you want to sponsor a local club in Alabama, hit us up.
Dread River Distilling hooked us up with something, so that's cool. If you need some whiskey, holler at them. But and the Yak Shack, they're going to help us out, as always. Great local shop here. But also, me and Lance, one of the guests coming on tonight, we have started a new KFL team. We have this year we were with the Alabama Hammers, and we got fourth. Fourth, there's no third place. It's just you made it to the final, you know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I think I lost Dan. There you go.
There you go. Yeah, okay. But yeah, we started a new team, the Coosa Kingfisher. So yeah, really excited about that.
Sweet, dude. Well, we won't waste any time in that. So what we're covering today is we had the first Alabama Bass Nation Kayak Anglers State Championship. I got to figure out a smaller way to say all that. I was trying to say it to somebody today and couldn't figure out how to spit it all out. But basically, we turned the state championship event into the Bassmaster event versus doing the trail series and stuff like that. And we had 62 guys come up, and it was out on Lewis Smith Lake. And we've got the first place winner, Mr. Lance Coley, and the third place, Mr. Luke Turner. What's going on, guys? Y'all remember Luke? We had Luke on not too long ago. I'm trying to remember what event that was for. Luke, do you remember?
That was for the NACA River Stock.
That's right. I couldn't remember. I knew you. 4 inches. Yeah, that's right. He hammered him. He set a NACA record for three fish.
Wow.
Well, what's going on? How y'all doing?
Good.
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Just got a shower. Relaxing.
Yep, got a shower. Got paid.
Oh, Lord. He's throwing that off.
Go ahead and get his repping in. I love it.
I like it.
I got a rep NACA, too, because I was kind of a double AOI. So.
Yeah. we're going to get into that too, man. You've had a hell of a year.
Yeah.
Lance has had a Lance's like big tournament record in the state is like, I pulled up his tourney X stats and was like, well, damn, I don't know if I want to talk about all that, but
well, hey, Lance, I'm just been doing this long before tourney X was ever
on the national trail this year, and not Iron City. So hey,
yeah,
I was looking at that. I was like, hey, I don't see Lance in the Angler of the Year race this year. What's up with that? It's like maybe he just had one good day and a
that
terrible
was crazy
year.
How that turned out.
Yeah, in between national stuff and KFL, he didn't get the fish.
That's crazy.
It was a little bit intentional, though. We were trying to keep him out of it.
Luke appreciates it. So
I fished two events in February and March, which is like my worst time of year, and I skunked both of them. So
of them was Bibb, right? Bibb is the worst place on earth to fish. So
yeah,
there's like four fish and... there. There's four tens, and that's it.
Well, there's four tens, and there's like 87 12-inch bass in there.
Yeah.
And then I fished Smith at Flood Stage in March, and that didn't work out either. So.
Yeah, that one was tough.
Well, this was the exact opposite of that.
Lance showed up to my original launch.
A word got around?
Yeah. And he went into the bushes, and I was like, I've already fished the bushes. That's not happening. And then I ended up going to another spot, finding clear water, and caught a 1950 with it was 5 minutes to go.
That's why you called me in a mild panic.
Well, that was yesterday. I called Dan in a whole lot of panic, I think.
You're talking about Pickwick in March.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They've already shut off the leaderboard. What's going on? I can't submit a fish. What's happening?
I know.
It's sandbagging, Luke. Come on now.
Well, that's the first thing people said to me was that's the sandbaggers that are upset. Yeah.
It's just the guys that fish where there's no service.
No, man, dude, that whole lake has no service. But anyway, so taking a step back, let's, Luke, go ahead. Tell everybody once again who you are, a little about yourself, and then Lance will do the same thing.
Hey, you want to do Lance first? I need to call my son to figure out how to turn this volume up.
Okay, I'll bring you back in. Give me a thumbs up when you're ready to come back.
Okay. He went to poop.
Pulled a Milford. Man. Well, Lance, tell us about yourself.
Oh, well, I don't know how far back you want to go, but I guess I've been in Alabama for about 10-12 years now. Grew up in Mississippi, spent a little time in Atlanta area of Georgia, and I've been a river rat since I was about 5. So and my job that I used to have traveled me all over, mainly the Southeast, but pretty much the Eastern Seaboard. And I fished every creek at every destination they sent me to. So over the years, I've just become kind of a creek specialist. I'm trying to expand that now. I'm forcing myself to fish some lake stuff just to learn it and starting to figure it out a little bit, I think. So trying to be more well-rounded.
I'm going the other way. I'm trying to learn creek stuff, and I'll teach you the lake. You can teach
deal.
Me.
Deal, yeah. Man. Come on out. Yeah.
And you have to tell everybody you've caught all the bass. Explain that. That's like the coolest thing ever.
So that job that I have, I got a more kind of homebody job now. I stay in Birmingham most of the time, but I traveled for like 12 years around the Southeast, which is like black bass Mecca. There's huge amounts of species of black bass that most people don't even know about. So you got your big three. You got largemouth, smallmouth, spots. Those are pretty much everywhere. You got Alabama bass, which are about to be everywhere, but they're kind of the Alabama version of the spotted bass is what most people kind of equate them to, even though they're not related. So that's four. You got shoal bass, you got Suwannee bass, Guadalupe out in Texas. Let's see. Yeah, you got red eye, but they've split those into like, you got the, let's start west east. You got the Warrior, the Cahaba, the Coosa. So that's 10. The Tallapoosa, the Chattahoochee, the Altamaha, So, and the Bartrams. So that's 14.
I give you credit for just knowing all of these.
Yeah.
You got the Choctaw Bass is 15. I'm going to have to pull out my notes to remember all of them.
Oh, you was
on it. How many are there total?
Oh, there's the Florida Bass, which is the Florida Largemouth Bass. That's 16. There's an undescribed bass in Mississippi, so that's 17. And there's two subspecies of smallmouth bass, the Ouachita and the Neosho, so that's 18 and 19. I've caught all of them.
Well, you need to update your Tourney X because you've only got 9 on here.
Well, I put the 9 that most people recognize.
Yeah. I was just joking. I didn't realize there were 10 more. I saw these 9, recognize all of these, and was like, oh, cool, he's got that whole slam. You know, what is it when you – don't they call it like – it has a name when you catch all of them. I can't remember what it is.
I guess it's the slam.
I thought there was like a – it was like a so-and-so angler or something like that. It's not like master angler. I can't remember. I'm going to look it up. I should have looked it up.
I think BASS did something a few years ago. I don't know if they're still doing it or not. Or you do like a certificate or something if you caught all 9 of the major species. But
yeah.
Has anybody ever caught all 19 before?
I've got to be one of a handful. Maybe Drew Gregory might have.
Yeah, that guy.
I would assume Drew did.
I don't know of many other people that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of those species are creek specific fish. Like the Neosho smallmouth doesn't live in lakes. Most of the red eye species don't live in lakes. So if you're not a creek guy, you're probably not going to catch all 19.
You're right. I'm a creek guy, and I haven't got even close. I don't leave the state most of the time. It's funny, when I leave the state, I'd never fish creeks. I go fish big water, which I'm absolutely shit at. It doesn't make any sense. Well, so, Luke, if you're ready.
I'm ready. I can hear now.
Woo! All right, tell us about yourself, man.
You know, I'm just love fishing, love kayak fishing. Been doing it for, I guess it's 4 years now, maybe 5. So I've just fell in love with it. Love the skinny water. I've learned to love the skinny water. So first I was came out of a bass boat. Seen these kayaks down at Florida Water Sports in probably 2014. And I was like, this is a fishing kayak. What is this about? Yeah, because we always stayed across from Florida Water Sports when we went to Panama City. And just got to just got intrigued by them, and then Graybo Outdoors opened up in Fultondale, and that's where I bought my first fishing kayak. And I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know anything about any kayak fishing groups or anything, but I just knew I wanted to do that. So, and I've been doing it ever since.
As I was talking to somebody today about how it, like, I don't know if it was when you first started, but when I really started like participating with the local stuff, I met you and seen, like, I would see you out like on the lake. And then over the last year, you've seemed like you've really developed into the skinny water thing.
If you can't beat them, join them.
That's right.
Andy's got a rocket pop.
Yes. That rocket pop.
That's how we know him.
The rocket pop. I didn't know that you had that color. I thought you had one of the green ones.
Well, that was my field figure was green.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And I've got a Wildy Recon 120 HD that's written in the HD's in a magic marker.
Made a conversion.
Yeah.
One of a kind. Price just went up.
Yeah. There were no HD's when I bought mine. I had to buy the pedal drive separate. So.
Well, so again, what we're covering here, folks, was we had the state championship down on Lewis Smith Lake. Turned it out to be a grind for most. The lake was down. It says it was down 8.5 feet. I think it was way more than that, but the water was up a little bit because we had a lot of heavy rain. And for anybody that's not familiar with Lewis Smith, I pulled up a few facts on it just because they kind of, when you Google it, they just kind of popped out. But it was impounded in 61. It's located off the Sipsey Fork of the Black Warrior River. It's 21,000 acres, 500 miles of shoreline, and it's a spotted bass factory for the most part when you talk main lake. These guys both, you've already can tell these are creek guys, so they were hitting it a little bit different. But I found some cool information on Smith that it's got like little creepy backgrounds that they flooded. I mean, a lot of lakes have flooded towns, but everything happened there so rapidly that it's Falls Creek or Falls Town or something like that. It's at the bottom of the lake. They had to remove 78 bodies from a cemetery getting ready for it, and then it flooded so fast the rest are down there. And they still actively find people from that long ago because it's 260 feet deep in places. I was reading a story
it's 300 feet deep in places.
Jesus.
Don't
sell it short.
Yeah, don't sell it short.
But it was
my dad had an old Hummingbird flasher.
Boat Trader, America's largest boating marketplace, offering easy financing and over 100,000 boat listings to choose from. Sell, find, and finance new or used boats on America's largest boating marketplace. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
And these flashers, I don't care what anybody says, but these flashers are accurate.
No, yeah, they are.
More accurate than what we have today. And it was banging on 310.
Jeez. There was the story that I read. There was a historical story of a man that he had a name. It didn't list the name that had went missing when the lake flooded. And he had gotten his car, was going to the store, and they never saw him again. And they actually found his car, I think, in 2007 or 2005. And when they pulled the car up, he was still sitting in the seat, preserved enough that he still had his wallet in his pocket.
Yeah,
that is creepy. There are just Google images of some of the Hummingbird down scan images of out there. And there's just like this silent forest 200 feet down, and the trees still have leaves on them. It is freaky as shit. Well, so but anyway.
It was supposed to take, I think, 4.5 years for them to fill up. And that's what they were expecting. And then it was either 62 or 63. It filled up one summer.
Yeah. That's nuts. That's so insane.
So much rain.
Kind of like, I remember when they impounded Duck River over there by y'all.
Exactly.
It filled up fast. Well, anyway, so going back to that, it's a state championship, 62 anglers. It's top 15 from every state, from every club in the state. Tournament directors get a few spots. Actually, don't think we had too many tournament directors, though. I think
they all qualified.
Yeah, exactly. Lewis Smith Lake, best 5 1-day tournament. And it was a grinder. Again, like Lance said, going into it, there wasn't a lot of cell service. But, you know, come 12 o'clock, it looked like mid-70s was going to take it home. But so before we get into that, Luke mentioned it. Luke is a killer angler in our state. He double AOI dipped this year. He won it in his club and he won it in Dan's club. And like I said before, probably because Lance wasn't there. I'm just joking. But
thank you, Lance.
What have you won? Luke can hold his own, man.
You've won it like 4 times, huh, Lance?
Oh crap. Cat, stop.
I love it.
Yeah, you need to go ahead and get rid of that thing.
Yeet. Well, actually, since you say it, I got it pulled up right here. I'm sure he can say it, but I'm gonna gloat you up a little bit. So what he's got under his belt is the 2010-2015 River Bass and Angler of the Year, the 2015 and 2018 River Bass and Team of the Year, the Coosa Canoe and Kayak Anglers Angler of the Year in 2017, the Alabama Kayak Anglers Classic Champion, which is the state championship in 2018, 2020, and now 2021. And the Iron City Kayak Angler of the Year for 2020. So,
and other years, more than just one.
He doesn't update his tourney X enough.
Actually, I didn't seriously start fishing Iron City until about 2018, I think. So I was a pretty late comer to Iron City. Because before that, I was concentrating on the River Bassin Trail. And when they kind of, you know, quit doing stuff, I think around 2015, they were doing some online stuff, and I piddled with some KBF things here and there, and I was like, I got to get something going. So I joined Iron City. I didn't really start fishing with them until I think it was 2018.
Okay.
I did the Coosa Riverkeepers tournament trail in 2017, and then kind of parlayed into Iron City from there, because I think that was the only year, or maybe they just did that a couple years or something. But
so there you go.
Pretty cool though. I've always known your name in the state. Always knew you're a good angler. Same as Luke. Luke's name, especially down in Coleman. Like, if you knew two names, it was Luke and Jesse Halverson. Y'all were always doing this back and forth. And y'all are both
Jesse.
Oh yeah. I'm gonna get him on. We were talking about it earlier today. I wouldn't know how to handle him on a podcast because he's so unfiltered. And when he was doing so good at that Pickwick event, I was like, oh God. Like, I was already preparing. Like, how am I gonna have him on?
Hey, and if y'all haven't seen it, go look up Jesse Halverson's YouTube. He has the best YouTube. He's always yelling as he's got one of his Androids where he has to yell at it to make it take a picture. And he's like, photo. God dang it, take a photo.
The first time I fished with him, he was behind me, and he was fishing a monthly or something like that, and he was taking pictures, and I didn't know that's what he was doing, and he just kept shoot, you motherfucker. And I was like, what? And he was like, no, that's my phone. I was like, oh. No, that's funny. But yeah, so let's I gave us a little bit of a rundown on the lake and about you guys. Obviously, y'all are fishing similar water, but Luke, tell us about how your day went as far as the fishing. And don't mind me, I got to reset my camera, so take care of that, Dan.
All right, cool. Well, I guess I'll start with a little bit of pre-fishing. So I've been pre-fishing for a little while before it went off limits. I mean, I must have drove around the lake 15 times. I don't know. I mean, I won some money, but I didn't even break even for gas. So it's all about the glory, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So I had a main river spot. Okay, so back up. With all this Bass Fest, that was last weekend.
Extra tough because it was Bass Fest.
Too. Bass Fest and then the Bassmaster Open. I was like, I grew up on Smith Lake, but I grew up on Smith Lake skiing, riding around in ski boats and just playing. I really didn't fish it growing up. So I was like, man, I've got to find something. I knew a couple of community holes, but other than that, I was like, these Bass Fest and this Bassmaster, I mean, they're going to be rolling through the community holes like crazy. Yeah. I found a place way up somewhere in the Bankhead National Forest, main river. It had enough elevation. If the water went down, I felt the fish would go down, but they would still be there.
Yeah.
So I pre-fished that a couple of days. This was like a month and a half ago. And I was driving back toward, I was coming home. And I was like, I'm just going to cut through here and I'm going to check out the spot that I met Lance at in the Iron City, see what it looks like. And I was going to check out just beyond that Hames Marina, which is really close. And on my way down there, I passed the bridge and I like locked up the brakes and back down, and I was like, ooh, this looks nice. I mean, I spent map study, everything, and I never found this creek. It was crazy. I don't know how I didn't find it, but I found it on accident. And pre-fishing, I walked down about a half mile fishing, came back up. I was like, this is what I want to do. And I knew I was off Friday before the tournament. I was like, I'm going to put in here because I had my big boat with me. I didn't have my little boat. Ain't no way I was dragging that wildie down them rocks. So Friday before the tournament, I put in, fished up a little ways. So caught a nice one right off the bat. immediately went up a good ways, caught another one. And then I was like, all right, I'm shaking off from here just to see if there's fish in these different spots. And I shook a bunch off, not a bunch, but I shook enough off to say there's fish in here. Tournament day comes around. Well, that night, I mean, you want to talk about some street tacos? y'all should come up there. It was me and Jason Jones, Sam Cox.
Gang, gang.
And Derek Taylor. Some bomb street tacos. If you've never had my street tacos, you got to come to when we're camping.
I saw the pictures. Those look good.
Yeah. I need to get an invitation to one of these and come hang out, because I was like, oh.
West, out west, they have like Greg Blanchard has like Dark Horse Division. Well, Luke and Sam and all them, they've got Gang Gang. They've got their own
Gang Gang. Yeah.
Yeah, your own club going on.
Oh, I mean, Frank moved off to West Virginia or to Maryland, where he's going, but he's part of the Gang Gang. Heck yeah. So tournament day. I wake up, I go to Whitlock's and get some snacks. This is like way early. I get to my spot an hour and a half before the podium. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm there way before put in because I'm nervous. I was like, somebody else has found this. I'm gonna see Lance there, is what I thought. I was like, because this is a sketchy hill. I don't have four-wheel drive, but I got all terrains and positive tractions. So I back down this wet gravel road, and I back down enough so I don't think I'm blocking anybody. You know, I mean, you can get a couple trucks in there so I don't get disqualified. I didn't like park at the top of the hill where it'd block everybody. So I back down.
What he's trying to say without saying it is my man's was hiding. Like, you can't see me. I'm not here.
I was trying not to get stuck. If my wheels would have spun any, I'd have just sat there. So, I'm fishing all the way up. So, what is it? You can get your boat in the water, but you can't fish yet.
Yeah, you can launch at 6.
Launch at 6.
Lines in at 6:30.
So, I mean, I don't get in until 6:30 because, I mean, I'm right there.
So, staring at them.
Yeah. Paddle up. I was like, man, it's getting pretty slow. I'm not catching anything. Stick with it. End up catching fish, caught a 17 pretty early. I caught pretty much fish all day. I was on it was a creek, but I'm not gonna tell you where it was at.
Yeah, he's like wanting to tell you information, but then he's like, somebody's gonna listen to this and figure this out.
So I caught one on one of my first ones.
There you go.
Got this red line. Mm-hmm. I tried a whopper plopper. I really wanted to catch them on a whopper plopper, but they were just bowling at it. I couldn't get it. You know, I went on the red line buzz bait. Kept working my way up the creek. Kept alternating between the this spinner bait.
Don't cover it up.
In the hidden color.
Come on now.
It's a spot sticker.
Yeah.
Spot sticker spinner bait. Yep.
This is terrible.
I love it.
All right,
you are the first person on this show to ever do that. Come on.
Work up. So one memorable fish I had, I was in a log jam up the creek, and there's one path. Like, this is enough to get my 32-inch creek rocket through this path, and I was like, I'm gonna cast up here before I do it. Cast up there, bass hits it. He goes immediately into the log, and we're locked up. We're locked up bad. So he ended up paddling up, line still tight. Had to jump out of the kayak, and I still don't know where he's at. And I'm like, well, am I going to have to die for this guy, or what am I going to have to do?
This is when a GoPro would have been excellent.
Yes. Well, If it was on a kayak, it wouldn't have seen me because I was.
The kayak's like floating away.
Yeah, it's gone. Oh, no, I don't know where it is. So I finally get out from it a little bit and I see it come out because I thought it was up toward me a little bit more and it's like right by my foot. So he finally comes out and I get him on the board. Oh my gosh. A little up from there, I found a falls, and I was like, I'm not going any further. You know, I'm old. I'm lazy. This is it. So I start floating back down, and when I'm flowing down, it's easier to throw a shaky head.
There we go.
Got this guy. Caught several fish on that. Huh?
What kind of worm is it?
A black and blue one.
A black and blue.
Yeah, but is that a Davis?
No, it's a Zoom.
Oh, is that the fatty?
It's a mag fluke or something.
Mag there's fatty,
a,
I think.
There's a mag fluke or the, not mag fluke mag. Oh no,
mag trick worm.
Mag tree.
Yeah, mag trick worm.
Okay,
I'm floating back down.
It just looked thick, is why.
Yeah,
thick with two C's.
Exactly. Floating back down, I go past where I put in, and it's...
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on, and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
It's a pretty good riffle. I don't do really good in the riffles. I think just the spacing between the riffles, it didn't allow for the fish to be in there. Because, you know, sometimes the fish will be in the riffles, but these fish weren't in any riffles. Float down. I've got a pull. I missed a couple of fish. I think I missed a couple of good fish. And this is getting late. So I float past down this pool, and I'm in a silted up creek. I don't like silt because there's no reason for silt in a creek except for somebody's ignorance. But it is what it is. I mean, they're building houses, and they're not putting proper barriers up, and it's silted up. I hate it. There's rocks every once in a while, but I found these laydowns, and before the laydowns, there were deep holes for whatever reason. Where the water, I guess the water come through, and it flushed them out. And that's when I got on a pattern, and this was like at 1 o'clock. Lines out was at 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
Yeah. So I'm floating down, and I'm throwing a Mr. Nico with the Nico skirt.
Nico, I've never seen a Nico skirt.
Really?
No, I throw a Nico. I've never thrown a Nico skirt.
Oh, dude, that's the thing, man.
So
that one looks like it's missing a few strands.
It may be. I just clipped it off tonight. So I'm throwing in laydowns on 8-pound test, fluoro. And a 10-pound braid. You know I'm a light line guy. I love that.
Y'all like to live on the dangerous edge.
Braver than me.
Shit off. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's angler deer stuff. I don't know if y'all understand that.
Oh. Ouch. All right. Good night, Luke.
So
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I mean, I went from lay down to lay down. I mean, it was every time I would throw this in there, the brim would come up and go, you know how the brim do?
Yeah.
And I would pop it one more time, and a bass would come and get it.
Oh, and I have to remember that.
Yeah. So
hey, that's usually legit. When I feel that, I'm like, get away from them, you know?
Hey, that's legit right there. I learned that a long time ago. If you feel them brim tapping, don't pull it out. Sit there and shake it a little more because those brim will swarm around that lure and it gets the bass attention. He'll come over and look at it.
Is it a brim? Was it brim beds?
No, it was.
I mean, this late in the year, I don't know how long they.
So, on each side of the river, there were trees down. And I don't know if I've seen this before or the water was just so clear that I've seen it now. It was washed out on the front side of the creek side. And there were deep holes in there. And you just flop it in there. And
it probably, from all the rain previous, when the creeks get flowing, it'll cause like an eddy or a swirl. It'll put a divot in the ground. Yeah. And it'll just be like sandy or gravel bottom, but not really a bed, but it becomes like a little. I've never like really dialed in on one for the bass, but like you're talking about, usually like when you're floating by one, there'll be like 50 bluegills sitting around them, and just I don't even know why, but so that's pretty cool that you were able to get a bite off of it.
Can you put that Nico up one more time?
Yeah.
How do you have that hook? Do you have it hooked sideways or in it? You have it hooked in it.
That's technically the correct Nico.
It's a Z-man.
I've never seen it. I've always hooked it sideways. I've never hooked it along with the worm.
Sideways is wacky.
Yeah. By the breakdown, for real, Dan, worm this way, hook this way is wacky. Hook in line is Nico. That is the actual difference by the definition.
I think the difference is the weight, right?
No.
Mm-mm. Well, I do weightless Nico all the time.
Tomato, tomato.
Potato, potato.
AOY or not AOY?
Hey.
It's getting late, and I'm looking at Tourney X because I finally upload some fish. I leave one in my back pocket.
Sandbagger.
Yeah.
Why would you leave one in your back pocket? Why are you doing this?
Hey, you got to put people on edge. They think they got a chance, and then Luke's like, meh.
Baby mama drama.
So, do you think that helps you? Really? I'm asking a real question. Do you think that helps you? Why is that strategy? Why do you think it helps?
Okay, so this is probably the first tournament I've actually loaded fish during the actual fishing day and not after the submissions have been turned off or the leaderboard has been turned off.
Right.
I mean, I ain't got time for that. I'm fishing.
Most like I've judged some of Coleman's tournaments and it's not sandbagging. He really does. Like he's not what he did at this event's not usually how he does it. Like just like he just said, like you just count on Luke when the submissions are off, he finds self service or he's finally done. That's when you're going to get his pictures. He's not the only one that does it. Like there's tons of NACA guys. You don't see them on the leaderboard until the event's over. Like
I don't eat lunch. I don't drink water. Until it's over.
Dang, what's up, hardcore?
Angler of the year.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. So
take notes.
All right. Anyway.
My fat ass going to eat a sandwich. I mean.
It's getting toward the end, and I was like, there was this one lay down in that pool before I came down that I missed a fish on, and I figured out that pattern, and I was like, this is going to work right there. Come up this shoal. First cast, catch a, I think it was a 15-25. That called me up an inch and a half at 19 minutes to go to get into third place. And that was my day.
And that's all he needed. And third place was the last place in the money. And it was a decent check. Like you said, I hate that you didn't break even because you spent $700 in gas on running around. But
and did the top three qualify for the?
So we actually qualify 10%. So I'll go over those real quick. So we qualified six, and the person that wins the previous year qualifying event automatically goes. So Randall will be a repeat qualify for the 22 Classic, and then we have Lance Coley, Jason Moore, Luke Turner, Bubba Jones, Ryan Crum, and Jesse Halverson will be rounding out the people representing Alabama at the Classic.
Oh, Jesse.
Yeah, congrats to all of them.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. You going to go, Luke?
I'm thinking about it. The way my schedule
kind of hard to say, so because they don't have the info out.
Yeah. South Carolina, there's got to be some crazy slam that Astro Pop vibe up in somewhere.
It may require the Wildy. Everybody thinks I'm a creek guy, but I mean, I can fish.
No, I promise you.
Too, so.
I think the first time I caught up with you on one of y'all's lakes, me and Jesse were struggling, and my man's just throwing 19s back. Just like, that won't help.
I remember that.
That won't help. Yep. You told me a valuable piece of information that has caught me so many fish.
Hey, that's the one on Ingram's. I shouldn't say Ingram's, but anyway, where I was bouncing that, Ned rig, and y'all are like, I ain't throwing no Ned rig.
Nope. And then you caught a few on a chatterbait that day because you told me a trick, because I was like, man, we were throwing the same color, same weight, same chatterbait, same trailer. It's like, dude, I haven't got a first bite. And you were like, yeah, I'll feel it vibrating. It'll just stop vibrating. Just set the hook. And literally, I was looking at you. I cast to the other bank. That happened, and I smoked one and was like, well, how many times have I felt that today and just kept reeling? Like, God, dog. But yeah, so killer day, Luke. Awesome job. You had a great year.
Thanks, guys.
It's awesome. Lance, I'm ready to hear about your tournament day, man. So
I'm ready to hear about Lance, too, because he met one of my buddies at the in the middle of nowhere.
Uh-oh. This story could get a little sketchy.
I ain't saying nothing, though.
So, I'll probably make everybody mad. I didn't pre-fish.
Dang it.
So, he saved all of his money.
I was on a work trip up in North Alabama on Thursday, so I drove back through the scenic route, and I did scope some stuff out. I kind of had some history to go on. I checked a few areas. I was worried about the water levels because we'd had so much rain, and kind of debating on hitting a couple places on the main lake. But I got down, started looking around. I said, yeah, you know, the creeks are, I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends. I mean, this time of year is probably when they can play the best because the lake has been pressured all summer.
Especially the weekend we were going into after Bass Fest, the opens, they still have their local tourneys. I mean, the lake is getting hammered.
So. Yeah. I had a couple main lake spots I wanted to try, but, I was actually talking to my wife the night before. She's like, what would you do? She's like, you want to go creek fishing or lake fishing? I'm like, I want to go creek fishing. We'll go creek fishing. So
that's a good woman right there. Mine would have been like, don't ask me. I don't. You should go to work. That's what you should do.
So I picked out from my scouting around. I settled on three that I could jump between if I needed to, because I was going to be pre-fishing during the tournament. I went to the one that had the best gut feeling about. Got there early because I wasn't sure. I kind of figured everybody was going up the creeks to get away or find unpressured fish since there was so much stuff going on the lake 2 weeks before. So I got there early. Nobody was there. I mean, I went there super early. I got there about 5:15 or so, 5:30. Nobody was there. I took my time, unloaded everything, got everything ready to go. About 6 o'clock, somebody rolls up and asked him which way he was going. He said, I'm going up. I said, well, I guess we're going to have to share. which I was already prepared to share anyway. I had three or two other places that I was planning on going if it got crowded or if it just there was no bite there. But it was, I mean, where I was, I would still consider it lake. I mean, it was up way up a creek arm, but it was still
very accessible.
Yeah, I mean, you could get a bass boat in there. I mean,
yeah, not flowing too much.
Yeah, I mean, I went up several miles, and by the time I got to where I turned around, there was some current, a fair amount of current, and it had gotten shallower. But where I started, and I mean, I was catching fish all the way up. So it was, I mean, if if I was in the Bass Open or whatever, I'd have been right up there where I was, because I mean, you could get there.
And not to interrupt you, but just to give, so these guys did really good. First place, Lance ended up with 85. Jason Moore, who couldn't make it, had 80.5, and Luke had 78.5. To give you an idea of how actually hard the lake was fishing, that Bass Open series day one was 15 pounds, and I meant to pull the stats up of how that ended up finishing, but it was fishing very rough. We actually talked to a guy.
I think we only averaged 13.
Yeah,
for 3 days. Yeah,
we talked to a guy who was camping next to where I was set up, and you know, big rat boat, a lot of sponsors. Like, you, I mean, Joe McElroy was hanging out with us. He knows him. He's like, no, this guy knows what's up. Let's go see how he did. And the first thing the guy said was, "F this lake." He said, "I caught 67 fish today, and none of them stayed in the live well." I was like, "Jesus!" He was like, he was slamming rods in boxes and packing up, like
all shorts, huh?
Yeah, 67 shorts. I don't know if they were fishing inside of a what their limits were, like 15 inch, 1 pound, or something like that.
Slot.
Yeah, the slot, but. But anyway, I just wanted to let y'all know these guys did exceptionally well while professional bass boat anglers were struggling. I think that y'all could have definitely played. I was talking to somebody about this, something I want to do in the future, since like AL.com is like paying attention. Like next year, if we do a state championship and there just happened to be, we won't plan it this way, but like, let's say like the MLF was in town or something, I will have all that posted together to show that y'all, like, in comparison, y'all are running with what these pro anglers are doing out of little plastic boats to get a little respect. You know, it doesn't get said enough. And I don't know. I just think it'd be cool if they're like, yeah, well, you know, Jacob Wheeler only caught 17 pounds. Oh, yeah, well, Lance caught 23. So
I don't know if it was that much. But
oh, yeah.
So I had a 18.5 and an 18, which were probably about the same weight, because one of them was, the 18 was fatter than the 18.5. And I'm going to guess 3.75. So let's say 6.5 pounds on those two fish. I had a 17.75 that was skinny. So I'm going to say 2.5. So what are we at, 9? And then I had 2 15s, 1.5 pounds each. So another 3 pounds. So what, 12 pounds, 12 pound bag.
And if it was a 13 average, so you're right up in there. Might have made championship Sunday or Saturday.
And I had a shot at another 18 plus. It just didn't hook up on the whopper plopper. So it could have been a 15 pound bag.
Old plopper.
What? Yeah. So the guy that was, he was tent camping. I can't remember his name right now, but he was in a Capri Sun boat. And he had 10-1 after day one and was in 25th.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Wow.
So,
yeah. I was trying to pull up the pictures. Tourney X has been fighting me all day today. I was trying to pull up the pictures of y'all's fish, because both of y'all had some good looking fish. And then we did have a 120 and 120.5 call. And the 20.5 is a good fish. Were y'all, Lance, were your bites, like, were you back in largemouth waters or were you catching good spots?
Both. I was kind of in a transition area. Started off catching largemouth. When I first launched, I always start with topwater. This time of year, especially. Yeah, I mean, it's fun. And if, you know, a lot of times if they're going to hit topwater, it'll be first thing. And it's a good way to get a big fish right off the bat. So I started buzzbait, spook, a lot of wood at the beginning where I was. Didn't get anything, not even a swirl. Went to the spinnerbait. Water still had a good stain to it, so I thought the spinnerbait would play. Nothing. Hour and a half in, I think, I didn't have much, so, or really anything. Didn't have a bite.
Yeah, that's exactly. It was slow. It was a lot slower Saturday than it was pre-fishing Friday.
So, made an adjustment. I picked up a little red line wood knocker jig. I think it's a 5/16 ounce, maybe 3/8. Not a big heavy jig, but a small one. And I cut the front of the skirt off to make it a smaller profile and put half of a bang stick on it. I call it a Ned jig, but I use that a lot this time of year, and it catches fish. And when I flipped it in a little log jam and caught a 14 or 15 1/4 largemouth that ended up being on my stringer all day. And I just did that for the next 3 hours. And I probably caught 15-14 inches doing that. So
a jig with a worm, you're probably the only one throwing it on Smith Lake that day.
Well, I mean, I throw it a lot and I throw it everywhere. It's one of my favorite fall, late summer baits because it's a small profile. I can work it a million different ways. So it gets me a lot of bites this time of year.
Are you throwing it in like a shad pattern or just bluegill?
I change it depending on the water conditions. Since the water was stained, I had a black and brown jig with a I would have preferred a black bang stick, but I didn't have any, so it was Junebug.
Why do they make them with purple? I don't know. Why don't they just make a black and blue bang stick? I don't know why they got to have purple in there.
Yeah. But it was getting the job done. It looks like a little darter or brim or something going through the water. So
it makes me you're giving me confidence because I've actually I like throwing smaller jigs. But I've taken some of my small jigs, trimmed them, and put, TRDs on them. Mm-hmm. And I'll throw it for a few minutes, and it'll go in my head from, like, this is next level to what the fuck are you doing? And then I'd cut it off. But now that you're actually saying that you're doing it, I'm going to try it again.
Yeah, give it a shot. And I'm probably 3 different retrieves mainly that I do with it. The first one is just the little, pitch, let it drop, hop it a couple times, get it out of there. And the other one was just the typical pump and drop. And then the other one that I try, if they're not hitting any of that, is just stroke it, like 2-3 foot stroke, pop that thing up almost to the surface and let it drop all the way back to the boat. Had a lot of fish just come up, and as it makes that stop to start falling again, they'll just come up and grab it.
Was there any one of those techniques working better than like any one of those retrieves?
A lot of them, it was the first two. I didn't really catch many stroking it like that. They didn't want a whole lot of movement, it seemed, first part of the day. It was either right after that initial drop, or maybe a little crawl after that, or just hopping it back to the boat. They'd pick it up halfway back. But it was getting me a lot of bites, and it got me, a limit, which helped my confidence. And it was about 10 o'clock. It was that do or die times, like, is this where I want to spend the rest of the day, or do I need to go to another spot? And the fact that the other guy that fished there, I was prepared to share, but he went the other way and let me have it, and nobody else was there. There was a family there paddling around in the area. It sounded like a herd of elephants, but the fish didn't seem to mind. So I was like, well, I'll give it a few more minutes, see if I can get a bigger fish. And if I don't, I'm going to go to one of my other spots. Cause a bag of 14s is good to have when it's tough like that. But I didn't think it was going to be enough to do, make any waves. So I put the jig down, picked up a bull shad.
Uh-oh.
And just started burning it through some of the better looking waters. A lot of like 45 chunk rock banks, 45 degree chunk rock, with, it'd go off straight off into like 8-9 feet of water before it would kind of taper out in the back. So I was just burning that bull shad, and I had had a follow when come up and swatted at it, missed it, looked like a good fish. I pitched the jig I reeled it back in, pitched the jig back in there, and it didn't make it halfway down, and she hit it. And that was the 17 3/4. I was like, all right, there's some size here. I just got to figure them out. So I stayed there the rest of the day, and alternated between the bull shad, the big whopper plopper, and pitching that jig around. Ended up catching the 18 and a half on the bull shad and the 18 on the whopper plopper.
Tell me, just because I legitimately think you're one of the first people I know that I've had on this show talk about throwing a bull shad during a tournament. What bull shad are you using, if you don't mind talking about it?
It's the small one, the 5-inch. Well, not the new small one, but the original small
not,
one.
Not the baby, but like the the 5-inch regular bull.
Yeah.
And, how do you change? Because they have different. I've never thrown one. Slow sinking, fast. How do you know which one?
And it might be because of the type of water I fish. I don't like the floater or the slow sinker because I'm usually in some kind of current. So I take the fast sink, and I actually put extra heavy trebles on it to make it sink even faster. Okay. I take the skinny trebles that it comes with off. And
take notes.
Juice. Alert. Juice alert.
Yep. So are you what's your color? So, like, a lot of guys, when they go bull shads, everybody goes for that, just that bone look, because that color just works. Or did you get into something that's like that Luca does custom painted?
I don't pay much attention to color on, especially on stuff like bull shads. I mean, they either see it and it pisses them off and they want to kill it, or they don't. I mean, it's that category of lure. You're not trying to imitate anything.
Right.
Same with whopper ploppers. I mean, the 18 that hit the whopper plopper, first of all, I'm talking about the big one, not the 190, but the 130, I think. It had leaves stuck to it, and I'm jerking it, trying to free the leaves of it, and that thing just comes up and annihilates it. I'm like, why? I'll take it.
But he's going to start, like, netting falling leaves, putting them in the hook, like, rigging his hooks.
That was like, 147, which was a very timely call, because I think that's what put me ahead of whoever had – or was it Jason had 80 and a half?
Yeah.
I think I had 81 at that point, so I might have barely had him, but anyway, but –
He told me, I wish he could have joined us. He was he's a kind of quiet, keep to yourself kind of guy. Me and him were talking because, like you running into some of Luke's buddies, me and Jason always run into each other backwater fishing in North Alabama. That's how I know the spot's good. But like, I see his truck roll up or see him paddle by. I'm like, oh yeah. But he was telling me that he figured out the largemouth bite and there was only 5 minutes to go. That was his last good fish. But he was like, I'd got a swipe 3 shots in a row. I figured it out, but I figured it. He's like, and it was something, he didn't tell me what it was, but he said it was so in your face obvious. He's so mad that he didn't figure it out even with 30 minutes to go. And he's like, I could have sealed this whole thing up, but
yeah, I've been there. I mean,
I don't know that feeling. I sucked the whole way through.
The bite was fire about 30 minutes before line's out.
Yeah, it did seem to pick up.
It Tourney X even showed that. I noticed from probably 12 o'clock on, it started getting more active. Like you said, a bag full of 14s, you know, probably wouldn't hold anything. Once you get below third place, basically everybody had at least 3 14s, like 3 14s or a few less. Ryan Crum, one of the directors for the River Region guys, if he could have culled, I think, even one fish, he would have probably jumped right up there below you, because he had a 20 and an 18 and 3/4 and 3/12.
Oh wow.
And he still got fifth.
Oh yeah.
So like, he was a bite away from changing everything.
Oh yeah.
So pre-fishing, I found that little creek I was on, and then I went back to the crank ground and switched boats, and then I went up a larger creek, and I was coming back down and I met him. He was like, what it look like up there? I'm like, it looks okay. I didn't fish it. I've been here before, but I just wanted to see what it looked like with the water level down. And then at the camp that night, he was like, you going to fish that tomorrow? Like, no, I'm not fishing. You fish that. You can have it, bro. And then he nails that 20. And I was like, oh!
Yeah, it was, he was texting me during it too. And like, he'd caught the 20 a little bit earlier, because it was blowing my mind. I think he was in fourth place. No, he was in third place and only had four fish. And I was like, these guys are in trouble. And then he never could shake the 12s away. Well, you can get back to it, telling your story.
I mean, that was kind of it. I worked my way up and down. I figured out the late big lure pattern just to upgrade. I had right there at like 140. It was before I caught that last good 18 incher. I had another 18 inch class fish, follow it all the way back to the boat and just never hit it. And then a few minutes later, I caught that last big one at 147. And I was like, all right, I got to get out of here and go find some service because I think I got it. I felt like 85 inches, given the way everything had been fishing, was going to be pretty dang good. So
you never know with Luke.
Yeah, I mean, I knew Luke would be up there. I think I had it in the bag, but I felt like it was a pretty good shot. So I got out early and went and found some service and uploaded everything. And
yeah.
After I had a goof up, which I still don't understand it. I said, so we had an open event the day before and the championship on Saturday. I set the two tournaments up exactly the same. Friday had no issues. Saturday, it cut off at 2 o'clock instead of cutting off at 3 o'clock when the actual deadline was. So Luke called me in a panic. Sam Cox called me in a panic. Jesse Halverson called me and said, hey, everybody's panicking. So I'm driving down the road because there is no signal at the camp. So what happened was they were supposed to let me use the Wi-Fi at the check-in place at the campground. Well, that lady that told me I could wasn't there that day. So the other lady was like, no, you can't. I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to run this tournament with no signal. We'll see how this goes. So when everybody's calling me saying Tourney X is off, I got off the phone with Luke. I grabbed my laptop, jumped in my wife's car. I started driving down the country roads with my laptop on in the passenger seat, and I'm doing this all over the highway. And I'd find signal and I'd start clicking buttons. So I turned it back on doing like 45 miles an hour down some road. And then I pulled over and just sat and everybody's fish came in. I had like 78 fish to judge in like
exactly.
9 minutes on the side of the road.
So but I called Jimmy and I'm like, Tourney X is the submission's off. I don't know what's going on. I need to submit one fish.
He said, his words, he said, and I got one. I got one. I was like, all right, I'll take care of it. Hold on.
And all I heard from Jim was like, I did. He got no service.
I was so mad, man. I think it was like 10 a.m. We'd been taking it really easy. I was camped out. I had the camper set up. Because lady had told me I could just come pull up next to the check-in place and just use their Wi-Fi. So I was like, all right, cool. I told my wife, I was like, well, I'm going to run up here, start doing all this, walk up there. And I was like, hey. She's like, oh, no, we can't do that. I was like, oh, no. Because, like, there is no signal anywhere around Smith Lake Park. Nowhere close. But we made it work. You guys had a great event.
Had a good time.
And Lance, what you've won 3 of the last 4 state championships. What's that like? Is your head about this big? Like, I am the
man,
king.
It could end tomorrow. I'm blessed.
My man's didn't even really fish locally, and then it was like, I'll show up for state and kick everybody's ass.
Yeah. Without practice.
Without practice.
Well, I mean, I say without practice, but I've been around the block a little bit. So. Yeah, exactly. Luke's made his name in like 4 years. I've been working at it since 2004. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. So, I mean, kayak fishing is a little bit different than from a boat. I mean, it's going to take you.
Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV.
I mean, it's going to take you a year to get a hook set right on all your different lures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you can't set the hook like you can in a boat. You've got the angle in a boat, and you can jack them. When you're in a kayak, you're on their level.
That was probably one of the craziest things, like learning curve for me is because I, you know, on the boat deck, I give them that old hero smack, you know, that reverse swing on them. And you can't do that in a kayak. Like, no, you can't. I mean, you get into certain lake fishing and standing up in your kayak, blah, blah, blah. you adapt to it. But like creek fishing, like you're talking about, especially if there's moving water, there's nothing like trying to flow one way, fish one way, and set, trying to figure out how to keep the hook in their mouth with him going across current, with you going down current, light line, like you say. There's just so many things. Like Luke's right, the curve in kayak fishing is weird.
Exactly, yeah.
Heck yeah. Well, been a great show. We'll let y'all tell everybody who makes fishing easier for you. Luke, go ahead and rep your store again.
I'm gonna rep my crew.
Oh, here we
I'm
go.
I'm gonna rep the gang.
This guy.
Oh, Sam Cox, Jason Jones, Frank Reed, who moved away.
And is he like the? Is Frank the one like? You pour your drink on the ground, one for my homie, because he's like the gone homie.
No. Oranges.
Cuties, oranges.
Exactly. Yes. He used to always bring the cuties to the tournament, and we all started bringing cuties. And now when I'm on the water and I bring that mango orange out, I peel it, I drop one piece in the river, and I eat the rest. True story.
I love this.
Jimmy knows, and we all stayed in the same house up at Pickwick.
I love Frank. Frank is hilarious.
Yeah, that's my poor little liquor out for my homie.
All right.
So anyway, we'll Tony Dean at the kayak store. Awesome. Go by and see him. That's about it. Coleman Kayak Anglers, Iron City Kayak Anglers. I fished with all of them this year. I fished with all of them except Coosa. So NACA and River Region guys. I mean, I was all over the place. I enjoyed it this year. I had a blessed year. 2 AOIs. I won with NACA. Got a third place with River Region on Mitchell. So, I mean, it's been a great year.
Yeah, heck yeah, man. It sucks you didn't fish Coosa. I mean, you could have had a top three in all of them.
They do Thursday night tournaments, so I couldn't.
Yeah, it's pretty lame. I heard they might be doing some Saturdays this year. We're going to do a joint.
Do them.
Iron City is doing a joint with them in June.
If they go to Saturdays, I'm going to go hit one for sure, because I like that area. I think it'd be cool to get down there.
We are on nearly June 24th, Iron City and Coosa.
Sweet.
On Neely.
I'll be there.
All right, Lance, tell us who makes fishing easiest for you.
I just want to know if Luke is Yakko, who's Wacko and Dot?
Oh.
Who is Wacko? I don't know. I guess it's these stupid kittens that keep crawling all over me.
How many cats do you have?
I got three. I got three cats. I got two dogs, and I got a rabbit.
All right.
He's got a perfect pyramid of animals.
Yeah.
And a kid and a wife. So
yeah.
Hey, my next question is, has anybody ever flashed a gun on this show?
They're pulling out the judge.
It's the cat killer.
First time for everything.
What is that, a judge or a
it's a judge, governor. Yeah. I just want to make history.
Yeah. Luke Turner. Sure. First person to show arms.
Yeah.
All watch, right. This will be the first video that gets like taken down out of like anything we've done. And I'm gonna be so proud of that.
It's fake, it's not real.
Just put a little orange tip on it. Well, anyway, Lance.
Yeah,
easy for you.
Orange tip. Sorry, Lance. Go ahead, buddy.
That's right. I gotta go with Wilderness Systems. They keep me in some good boats, and then Redline. They pretty much have one of their lures tied on all the time. Yeah, Luke knows.
They send cash and checks in Alabama.
Thank you, Redline, for helping sponsor Alabama Hammers here in 2021 too. We appreciate y'all.
Heck yeah.
I got to thank, of course, I got to thank my wife and my son, Braden.
I'm glad you jumped in. I was like, hopefully he says it before I get into the outro.
Without their support, I couldn't do any of this. So,
yeah, exactly. My wife, Christy, and all them.
I think my wife, my cats, my rabbit, my dogs. Well, guys, we appreciate you coming on. Luke, it's good to see you again. Lance, I appreciate you coming on for your first time. I'm sure we'll have you on again, like we talked about. Actually, I'll just say this real quick before we let everybody go. There was a announcement tonight. Y'all will probably have heard it when this comes out tomorrow, but Chad Hoover stepped down from KBF, and Christy Hoover took over as president. And there's actually been a lot of positive feedback from what I've read so far. So maybe KBF is making some moves, and maybe, you know, maybe people start act like people don't fish KBF, but we don't fish KBF.
Well, you know, hey, I will say this. I'm looking at KBF next year because of their rules about
Yes. Doing
and
doing that's where we're, I think, well, minus Dan, Mr. Late Guy, Dan over there. I think the three of us are all like, I love their rule set, but I've just kind of been waiting to see what happens before I like go in that particular direction. But
Now you got to take a video of every fish that you release.
Well, I wonder if they're just doing that for the championship.
No, that's like,
that's a new rule.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. Never mind.
Yeah, it's like we'll give you one, but we're taking one away.
No. If you keep the creek rules the same, I would probably shut up and just video the releases, because like that's fishing, man. Like I get that as a tournament director, you have to try to please both people. So like I have to do so much of the rule this way and so much of the rule towards these guys, just so maybe people don't call and get mad at me, which doesn't work. So I get kind of why the two of the big national trails don't, but I kind of definitely feel like it's swung more away from what kayak fishing started as. So, and like everybody, especially Mr. Angler of the Year over here from River Bass, and you know, everybody always had positive about that. And I feel like that's what keeps KBF going, is that rule style still being around. So maybe we get more of that. It'll be great. But we'll get into that on another show. Guys, I appreciate you coming in.
Yeah, Jimmy, appreciate it. Dan, good to see you. Lance, congratulations.
Same to you, man.
Gang, gang.
Oh, Lord. I was waiting for it. All right, guys. Well, I appreciate it. We'll see y'all.
Bye.
I love those guys.
Yeah.
That. Some people get annoyed with it, but I think it's hilarious every time I hear them gang, ganging everywhere. It's so funny. No. And it makes me, it really do, man. I miss Frank. Anybody, I know a bunch of the Tennessee folks and a lot of the national folks that listen to this show, they all know Frank, because Frank will make himself known to you. And there's nothing wrong with it. He's a good guy. Well, you got anything else, Dan? Any news, any updates?
No, man. If you're looking to sponsor a KFL team, holler at me. It's the Kingfishers.
Give me a little bit about that. You said they've almost doubled the amount of teams this year so far, right?
Yeah, last year it was 17. This year, I think the cutoff's going to be 32, and it's either going to be 32 or dang close. So it's grown. There's a lot of big sponsors coming on board, so a lot more money in the pot. If you have any questions about just KFL, join a team. I know John with Alabama Hammers, he just put out a thing today. So if you're in the kind of quad state, Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, or Southern Tennessee area, and you're looking to join a KFL team, holler at John Lessman, or just go to the Alabama Hammers KFL, you know, like Facebook, Instagram page, holler at them. I think they need one more person. I mean, they don't have to, but I think they're looking for another one. Yeah, we have a full team. Coosa Kingfishers will release that soon. They kind of have like a draft. So by November 1st, everybody has to have their teams in, and then they start releasing every night. They'll have a different team on, and they'll bring out all the people that are on the team. So yeah, they make a whole thing of it. So it's a lot of fun. Like, a lot of people are down on KFL. I'm not trying, dude. I am not the spokesman for KFL in any way. It's the most fun I've ever had fishing, hanging out with Lance and, you know, and Coley and Chuck and everybody else. We have some other great members on the team this year. It's just fun. It's like fishing with your buddies. And then I've learned so much from people like Lance that it just, you know, it's
because it gives you the team dynamic to it.
Yeah, it's fun, but it's stressful because you're, you know, if you suck, you don't just suck for yourself. You suck for your team. And that's tough. You know, it's tough to deal with. But good days are great, too. But it's like fun hanging out with your buddies, sharing information, learning, and seeing actually like getting 100% information from a teammate on the same body of water. It just makes you a better fisherman. So yeah, this year I've learned a ton, really enjoyed it. Looking forward to it next year. So yeah, whatever people think is fine. I had a good time. That's all I know. Life's short. I'm trying to have some fun.
All righty. Well, going from that, we always hit the tournament recap, and we only have four, and I am okay with that because we worked our way down from me having like three pages of these to four. So thank you guys. Going first is the Yakub Bass Tournament, Tournament of Champions on Lake Berryessa. It was a 2-day tournament, 48 anglers.
I was spoiled first. Greg Blanchard's YouTube. I'm going to close my ears.
Okay. Okay. That's going to be like Daniel Balaba. Yeah. But no, first place, Daniel Balaba with 167.5. Second place, Taz Muo with 166.5. Okay. Third place, Pua Yang with 164.25. Moving on from there, we had the CAST State Championship in Tennessee. That is the – it's the – I can't remember what CAST stands for, but it's the coming together of all 12 – I think it's 12 clubs in Tennessee. They had a 2-day tournament, but it's your best five of the 2 days. 97 anglers. First place, Paris Edwards with 89.5. Shout out to Paris. He was wearing one of those Music City Outdoors shirts. I appreciate it, homie. Second place, Eric Thomason, 87 inches. And third place, Lunch Money Ryan Lambert with 85. I lied. We only have three events because one of them was the Alabama Championship, and we've already covered it. Right. So last but not least, the Southern Nevada Kayak Angler Slay Nation Tournament on Lake Mojave.
Slay Nation? What's up, Fred? I mean, Frank? Fred.
Yep.
Yeah, Fred.
Old Provolone.
Slay Nation getting in there. I like it.
Yeah, 26 anglers. Five fish limit, first place, Julian Ortiz with 77.75. Second place, AJ Gagliardo with 68.75. Third place, Jose Acosta Martinez with 63.75. So that was a tough one. But yeah, that's the events for the last week. I love it when I opened it up in the Tourney X page. The dates changed three times on one scroll. I was like, yes, not a lot to talk about. But yeah. So basically that's winding down, especially for our state. Basically everything's over for us. So Alabama does have a winter series. For anybody that I don't even know all the states, I should have pulled the graphic. Dugout Bait and Tackle in Marietta, Georgia is doing their winter series thing again.
Lots of giveaways. Even if you're not, you can't fish and you don't think you're going to win it, dude, the giveaways are worth signing up. It's pretty crazy.
I think I won four giveaways last year because they give away last year. I don't know how it's doing this year. But like they'd name off like 25 people each week, and it'd be like baits and.
I just, did it like 3 months. I didn't win anything, not one time.
I never submitted a fish.
I did. I won a pack of Sigar Gold Label. I take that back.
On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep sea adventures.
Coming to me.
He's jumping.
Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
I never submitted. Tatsu, yeah. I never submitted a fish, and I won like missile baits twice and something else. I won a bunch of baits, so it's worth the money to get in. There's like one big giveaway prize. I think they give away a reel every week.
It's like an Abu spinning reel they're giving away every week.
Yeah. So jump in on that. Going to go ahead and hype up Jackson Orr's fourth annual charity tournament. Online, any public water in the U.S. It's live. I think there was 26 people signed up for it. They're wanting to get to 250 to hit $6,000 in donations. So hit that up. But yeah, next week, I'm pretty sure we're either going to cover the winner from the national championship and talk about that 3-day event. And I tasked Drew Gregory with getting a hold of Christy and Chad to hop on with us and talk about that big news. So some order we'll have that within the next few weeks. But yeah, and who knows, probably see Dan again sometime soon.
Yeah, anytime, man.
Yeah,
happy help.
Glad to see you, man. I missed you, and it was just, I don't know, I feel like me and Drew do good, but since like I started with you, I don't know, it's still like like this, me and you is like how it's supposed to be kind of feel, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But
I'm like,
I wasn't going to say it like that, but thank you. All right, guys. Well, it's been a good show.
Wait. I'm not a regular here. I'm shouting out my stuff too.
Oh, that's right.
Yak Gadget. What's up, Yak Gadget? The best stuff in the business. Get one, getting Low Pro XD crate. That's where it's at. I see people all the time. What crate do I get? Get a Yak Gadget crate. I'm telling you, I've had them. It's the best. X Zone behind me. The crawls and the tails float. Get it. Throw it. Own it. Put it in your boat. Biano Power, not only my sponsor, but also with Coosa Kingfishers for 2022. Thank you, Biano, making the best batteries in the business. And last but not least, Summerland Outdoors in Columbus, Georgia. They will ship you a kayak anywhere in the damn country. And they got them in stock. Give them a holler. Jackson, Hobie, Old Town. They got them. Get them.
Boom.
I'm out.
All right. Well, great show. Appreciate it, Dan. Good night, everybody. Dan, take us out.
All right, everybody. We're your PFTs.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddle, the letter N, and fin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddle, the letter N, and fin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler. The Angler button and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com.
In Wild Country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Every once in a while, it's fun to go like just full-blown redneck on these fish. This is like high-tech cane pole fishing right here.
From the white sandy beaches to the crystal blue waters, enjoy the best fishing Panama City Beach has to offer during Chasing the Sun. Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.